Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. It's a great blessing to be here today for all of us. Brethren, are you a survivor? Well, we just heard about there'll be survivors that are going to be regathered, and Christian survivors will be gathered also. So are you a survivor? I looked it up in the dictionary. It says remaining alive. That's a survivor. So we just, as Christians, we also need to be able to survive, don't we? So are you a survivor? Or are we just surviving Christianity? You know, I'm just surviving it. You know, I can't do this, I can't do that, but I'm hanging on, I'm just surviving. Or are you a survivor? Are you just surviving Christianity, you might say? Well, when I was baptized in 1967, there were at least 1,000 other people in the Oklahoma City and Tulsa area, maybe including Lawton. There was probably 100 there. So how many are there now? How many survivors? Well, look around. But even if you gathered them all up in the state of Oklahoma, how many survivors would there be? I think I skipped a page here, stuck together. Maybe not. Just some stats I saw. Those confessing Christianity are in decline. So even people that claim to be Christian are not surviving either. 2011, 75% of Americans said that they were Christian. And then now only like 29% of Americans say they read the Bible. That's fallen a lot. You know, when our presidents used to talk about reading the Bible, and now only 29% of those that responded actually read the Bible. It seems that most people are just surviving Christianity. Yeah, I'm a Christian, and I'm just surviving. But brethren, we got to remember, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So we're kind of like we're in a hostile environment. Are we going to be able to survive? So my point is, a surviving Christian is not of this world. Let's look at that in John chapter 17. We're in the world. We can't get out of it, can we? Not alive. I mean, I came to church today driving on a paved road. That's of the world. My automobile was built in this world, and the fuel that drives it was part of this world. But am I of this world? John chapter 17. And we see in verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Not of. It's like denoting an origin. Where are they from? We're not from the same thing. Maybe at one time, but not now. But we are still in the world, aren't we? Look at verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but of course, Jesus talking about his death and resurrection there, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. So these are in the world. But he said, we're not of the world. That's not our origin. So we're definitely in a hostile environment of this world. The word world there would be the cosmos, orderly arrangement of things. You know, the world has its range. We're here in a building. This is the building of the world. We have electric lights. Where are they coming from? The world? Yeah. So we're in the world. And in verse 15, Jesus said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Why would we need protected from the evil one? We're left in the world, and we will turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll see the God of this world is Satan, and we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. I'll begin in verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, there in verse 4, the God of this age, there it is, the God of this age, could be translated world, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is an image of God, should shine on them. Because they're not of the world. You know, denoting an origin. So Jesus didn't ask that we'd be taken out of the world. That might have been pretty convenient. Just get out of here. It's hostile territory. And we can get out. So my point being, the survivor, the Christian survivor, resists Satan. We're here in this world. The God of this world, the one in control, as you might say. Because if we were of the world, then Satan would be our boss, wouldn't he? And society is of this world. Even though they do good things, they save the planet, or they're for diversity, or they're for equality. They even have a word, I believe, for it now, they're like influencers. Influencers. In other words, they can have their project and do good, and they can influence people to do well, let's save this, or let's be equal, or whatever. They don't have a responsibility for their own personal behavior. Kind of gives them a pass. Well, I do all these good things, so my personal life, you know, I can be doing whatever I want. Yeah, and Satan is dangerous, and he keeps people guessing, doesn't he? In Matthew chapter 4, see, he's dangerous, he's the tempter, and he is of this world. We're not of the world, but we're here with it. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 3, we see what Jesus had to face. Of course, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. In verse 3, now when the tempter came, he is the tempter. Here we are. We're in the territory, and he is the tempter. He's the God. And what did the tempter do? If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Satan twists the scriptures. And we'll see, he uses scriptures, only he twists them to his own teaching. For it is written, man shall not, and then Jesus answered, well, if you are the Son of God, command these stones that they'll become bread. After fasting 40 days, I think that'd be a temptation, wouldn't it? Give me a day and I'm ready to turn stones into bread. Just give me the power, okay? No. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Yes, and in verse 6, and then in verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And again he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Then Satan quotes some scripture. He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So if Christ would go that, then he would be obeying Satan, the god of this world, which he did not. No, he didn't. And so what else did he say? If you're the Son of Man, go throw yourself down. Jesus said, again, it is written, you shall not tempt the eternal your God. And again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I don't know how this was in vision, but he showed him the glory, all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. There are rewards for being part of this world. And probably all of you have experienced that. There are rewards. Years ago, when I worked for Oklahoma Natural Gas Company, their policy, and maybe still is, everyone they hired, engineers, whatever, they start at the bottom with a shovel. They go out on crews. They knew what was going on in the field. And that was their policy. But there was one little thing there, that if you wanted to be promoted and proceed on, then you just need to come in one Saturday every month and take care of any emergencies or anything. So it kind of could put the brakes on you. I worked for them. Of course, I wasn't an engineer. And at that time, I didn't know much about the truth. Sure wasn't baptized. But I did not go in. But that would be a mark against you. There are rewards for following this world and being of this world. And there could be punishments by not being of this world, couldn't they? So another point I'd like to talk about is not being a part of this world's religion. Well, you'd say, well, that's obvious. We're not a part of this world's religion. Look what's going on. All this gender stuff, we're not involved in that, are we? I saw something interesting, if I could find it here, about the Air Force Academy. I don't know where it is. I may have lost it. But anyway, they've got a, what would be called a fellowship or something like that, that you could join. That may be it. I don't know. No, anyway, I lost it. But it's a gender thing that you can go to, and all kinds of, I didn't realize there's so many genders. I mean, there was like eight listed there. Is it a cisgender? Is that how you say it? S-I-S-G-N. That means you think you are the sex that you were born to. Well, anyway, in this fellowship that the Air Force has, it says on there, cisgender need not apply. Okay, so we're cut out of it. I thought that was, for the U.S. Air Force, I thought that was pretty unusual. Well, matter of fact, there it is. I think I just had the wrong pages. Some of them, I wouldn't want to read them all. Cisgender, person whose sense of personal identity and gender corresponds to their birth sex. Boy, that's a weirdo, isn't it? And this was a fellowship program that the U.S. Air Force Academy has. And they list a whole, I didn't write down all different genders, but whatever you want to be, they got a place for you over there. So we see that there's just a lot of going on as far as this world, isn't it? But we don't want to be a part of it. All this gender stuff and the blatant acceleration of perversion. And I just almost feel like that all of this, you know, everybody can identify now, that's really bad. That's got to be Satan. Well, this is just a smokescreen. I feel Satan is hiding in religion. So say, well, there Satan is. Well, he comes as an angel of light. No. Yeah, all this plain, outlandish, what people that know anything about the Bible would identify as sin, Satan can hide behind religion. He comes as a counterfeit, as we could see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, 15. We see he comes as an angel of light. He's a counterfeit. He's a counterfeit Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. And no wonder. Well, first in verse 13, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ, or the apostles of Christ. Well, yeah, they're going to identify with Jesus. And no wonder, in verse 14, Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Yes, Satan comes. He's hiding in religion. And, of course, he's got plenty of blatant evil out there where people can identify, well, that's evil. But what does it say in Revelation chapter 18? This is Satan's world. Revelation 18, in verse 4, There's instruction to us. We'll start in verse 3, Revelation 18. It says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through their abundance." Rich through their abundance. Yeah, how is that so? Well, kings of the earth have, merchants of the earth, been growing wealthy, haven't they? You know, there it says in verse 18, verse 3, Revelation 18, verse 3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of fornication. Kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." Yeah, of this world, they become rich. I saw there in Wall Street Journal that pharmaceuticals have made $55 billion from COVID-19. Pfizer and Moderna, their pre-tax profits have been $34 billion. They say follow the money. And well, as far as I found it, that'd be over $1,000 a second, $65,000 a minute in profit. And most of this stuff's coming right out of the federal government's checkbook, or it seems. Of course, then you have sales in war, making materials. Lockheed Martin, some of the largest defense contractors, they made about $44.9 billion in arms sales. Well, that don't quite match pharmaceuticals, but it's getting there. So it's like in verse 5, it says, "For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." Or they've been piled up. Sins have just been piled up. You know, speaking in the sermonette, have you read the U.S. and Britain in prophecy lately? Probably a good time to read it, because it makes a lot of things pretty clear. Just I've jotted down some things, if I can find them. How they identify in the nations of Israel in the present time. And how the nations of Israel rose unbelievably. I mean, as far as time, very quickly, after 1800. And now it's beginning to look like, are these nations going to survive? You know, our Christian life, was it going to follow the path of U.S. and Britain? I hope so. I saw a quote in there from George Washington. "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." And yet you'd think the way our courts and our government is speaking, that we never ever paid any attention to the Bible anyway. But it says there in that booklet, page 81, the U.S. became the most biblically oriented nation in the world, except maybe the state of Israel. Now, the little state of Israel. And what has happened now? But you see what Israel did in the past. What did King James do? 1611, he officially approved the publication of what has become known as the King James Version, widely distributed. By who? Well, the British people carried the Bible and missionaries. Whether they had all the truth, no, but they did have the Bible. And nations that they occupied were blessed. I don't see how anybody can get around that. India, Africa. British descendants that distributed hundreds of millions of copies all over the globe of the Bible. That was the Israel of old. Now, it also says there in page 80, biblical principles even became the basis for much of English common law. Our Constitution took a lot from the English common law. And it does say here, this heavily influenced American Constitution and regional law. Now we see that now we've seen a decline of the Americans because of Babylon, that great religion. So it's just unbelievable. The more you look, like we was talking about the gender thing, a great growing nations. Their laws are basically based on biblical principles. And now in such a decline. And people even denying that we were ever that way. Well, if you've ever been to the Supreme Court building, you know, there's a statue of Moses in the center on top. Two tables of stone on the doors down below. Of course, there's scriptures all around that area. So a biblical nation that now is denying that they have anything to do with God. And they're definitely on a decline. Yeah, verse 5, it says, like their sins have heaped up. Sins have just heaped up. In Acts chapter 2, yeah, we have to be survivors, and we need to keep up to date on what's going on. I mean, I read the original U.S. and Britain in Prophecy way back in the 60s, and it was thicker, but this newer booklet has things in it the old one did not, and has some things that were in there that are not, but more detail about how Israel, where it went after captivity, and it's something we need to keep up with. Acts chapter 2, because we can't be part of this world's religion. God's religion's being replaced. Even the principles that we had in this nation, now every kind of religion imaginable and morality is judged by whatever project people want to get on, whether it's saving the earth or diversity or, you know, and then getting a pass on their own moral conduct. Because, look, I'm moral. Look at all the good things I'm doing. Well, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Says, then Peter said to them, in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? As we just heard in the sermonette, there's coming a time when these people are going finally, what shall we do? Even scriptures that they take the arm of a Jew and hey, take me and show me the way. So there'd be quite a change in what we're facing right now. Anyway, verse 37, then they heard, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Being not a part of this world's religion involves repentance, a turning around and going the other way. So again, we have plenty of information that help us to understand what is happening. Back in 1970, 67, I thought I kind of hadn't figured out where it's going to go. You know, I had no idea it'd get to this point. I mean, gender identity, well, how could that ever be a question? And so many other things, even our military academies adopting this. You know, it's not, I understand it's not a forced fellowship, but they're available. And if you're a cisgender, need not apply. But it's funny, if you're a woman, cisgender, you can apply. Now, I don't know just what it was. I think Susan said, well, there's not many women, so they need all they can get. I guess they got plenty of transgender men. I don't know. Hey, we're full up, so you guys don't bother, need not apply. Well, and they just causing so much division. They have fellowship now, certain ones for blacks, and they're just dividing the military. You know, instead of, hey, we're all soldiers, we're all going to be airmen, we're going to protect this country. You know, I don't know if they'll get around to actually doing that or not. But repent. We don't see repentance, do we? A nation that's declining from the top. I don't see the average person where I live is not buying into all these perversions, but it's just passing them by, it seems. And what does it say in Jeremiah chapter 51? If we may turn to there, Jeremiah, number 51, it says to flee Babylon. That's Babylon's religion. That's part of surviving as a Christian. Hanging on to some of Babylon is just going to trip us up eventually. It's just going to get in the way. And it'll be one step and then another. It says in Jeremiah 51, in verse 6, flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Or it could be says survive. If you're going to be hanging on to any Babylon, I don't know how you'll survive as a Christian. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of Babylon that has Christian beliefs. We believe in Jesus, and we do good works, and we do this and that. But they're Babylon. It says, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off with her iniquities. The religion of Babylon is in iniquity. They just don't count God as, hey, Babylon doesn't observe God's holy days or Sabbath days that I know of. I mean, some may, but the other parts they do not do. Cut off in her iniquities, for this is a time of the Lord's vengeance. He will recompense her. Yeah, that trumpet is going to blow. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that goes on about how God used Babylon. But he's made all the earth drunk, and we know that from the book of Revelation. To survive, brethren, we can't be held up in that or taken in by it. I didn't think I made some other notes. That I wanted to talk about, but it's not necessary. But it's just amazing how just how a nation so quickly and so far has gone away from the biblical principles. Yeah, in that same booklet, I made a note here on page 94, the British people took the Bible in the far-flung corners of the earth. Yet today, religion is routinely ridiculed in Britain, national news, and entertainment media. And I didn't realize, you know, growing up in the 50s, I saw the old movies, and then I saw one on YouTube the other day, and I didn't realize the message there of picturing anybody religious or in faith is pretty stupid and just unpredictable and not really that good a person when it came down to it. And the girl running the saloon, she's a virtuous girl. Her and her, she's a madam, so what's the others? And they're pictured as being decent people. So this thing's been planted a long time. And in the 50s, as a youngster, I didn't pick up on any of it. But I found that it did become part of me. It did become part of the way I was thinking. And I remember as a young man, just starting to work away from the farm, and the guys were talking, and boy, they was talking about getting a wife and everything. So, well, you know, they were saying, well, a prostitute would really make a good wife. And I'm listening, I think, well, I guess that's true. No, that's a lie. I'm not saying it couldn't be, but that's not what makes a good wife. And you know, that's the way men think, you know. No, I won't accuse all men of thinking that way. But it sounds real interesting, you know. And also, that it says in the booklet, God established Israel as a nation for the purpose of bringing blessings to other nations. As we heard in the sermonette, after Christ comes, God gathers Israel, then they're used to bring the remaining people on this earth to God. So, I mean, God's got the plan. And sometimes I wonder, why doesn't God intervene? What's he waiting on? How bad's it got to get? Well, he knows, and he's going to do it. And bringing blessings to other nations. And then, you know, those you could read about it in Deuteronomy 9 and Genesis 12, Deuteronomy 16, and Deuteronomy 28. There's 12 curses listed on Israel for disobeying God. I think it's Deuteronomy 28. Is it 15, 12, 13 there? 12 curses God warned Israel about. And to see a nation that took the Bible and used biblical principles to establish law in their nation, and then to just be going completely the other way, is one of the most immoral nations now on the earth. China and Russia, they don't tolerate this kind of stuff. You know, a drug dealer, I understand in China, they have a special court. They just, real quick, they're put to death. You know, they get it done. And here we are supposed to be, you know, it says, in God we trust. I think maybe that's the reason they want us to just use credit cards. Let's get rid of that dollar that's making us. You know, I went in to get a coffee. Oh, we don't take cash. Use a credit card for a coffee? Yeah. You know, I'm probably a connection there is maybe something to do with COVID. I don't know. But we're going away. You know, the greenback could be embarrassing. You know, we had Queen Elizabeth II is gone now after some 70 years. Queen Elizabeth I, during her reign, Britain sent explorers out and to make colonies. Queen Elizabeth II, in her 70 years, has reigned over a declining empire. I think it's went from her colonies, like she had 32, down to 15. So you see a nation in decline. The sea gates are gone, or losing them. The United States gave away the Panama Canal in the late 70s, and now China controls it. Important sea gates. Britain had Suez. It had been called the spinal cord of Britain. It's gone, of course, has been for a number of years. Well, will you, Britain and the U.S. survive? Well, read the book. You'll see. Well, the future will tell, won't it? Yeah, and God warned in Deuteronomy 8, and let's just turn there. I was just going kind of quoted, but that's not good. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I think we can identify with this. I can identify with it in my own personal life. You know? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. When you have eaten and are full. Now, this is one of the things that just, and it's my own nature too, that I'm really disgusted with human nature. When things go really well, we don't get closer to God and give thanks and praise. We go the other way. And God warned it here. When you have eaten, Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, and are full, then you shall bless the Eternal your God. Yes, we, Britain, America, should bless God. It should have been closer to follow God's way. And, of course, that definitely applies to us and to all mankind as far as that goes. You shall bless the eternal God for the good land which he has given to you. Verse 11, beware. There's a warning to beware. In other words, hey, you're in dangerous territory, and if you're going to survive, you need to beware you do not forget the eternal your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command, his statutes which I command you today. And in verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses, and dwell in them. Have you seen the construction of houses in the last few years? Nice, beautiful houses. I mean, I grew up in a 2-bedroom wooden house, no inside, John. That's one thing I do thank God for. Is a tub and a john inside. I mean, that is great. But if you've never had to do without it, I don't know if people think about it very much. Lest when you've eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have multiplied. I don't know. I didn't see this when I was a youngster working in a gas station. One of the guys there said, he said, wow, before World War I, he said, kids on the street might have a $5 gold piece in their pocket. Well, I didn't witness that. But, you know, gold was flowing into this country at that time. Lots of gold. And what a reversal it is now. So your heart become proud and you'll forget the eternal God. I will turn, we're in Deuteronomy. Let's turn over Deuteronomy 28 then. I mentioned that. I see I wrote that scripture down. This is verse 15. Deuteronomy 28. I think this is it. Deuteronomy 28. But it shall come to pass. God says, it shall come to pass. If you do not obey the voice of the eternal your God to observe carefully his commandments, his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you. And then it begins to go. I think there's 12 of them. Cursed shall you be in the city. And some of the cities, I'd say that's a curse. And you wonder, why do people stay there? Well, I guess they can't get out. You'll be cursed in the country. So if you get out, you're still going to have trouble. Cursed be your basket and your kneading bowl, your food. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, your own children, the birth of children, and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and your flocks. Well, what I saw, the way cattlemen are unloading their livestock, yeah, we got, this is going to keep prices stable. What's going to happen in a year when mama cows are gone, the heifers are gone? Where's the price of meat going to be? We'll see. Cursed shall you be in, cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, cursing, confusion, rebuke in all you set your hand to do until you are destroyed. This is because of a nation that has the Bible, distributed the Bible, and has decided to reject it, even what they did understand. And then it goes on to make the plague cling to you till it's consumed you. And in verse 22, the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever and the sword, scorching and with mildew. Either it's too dry or it's too wet. You had no crop, it's got too dry. The next year, I seen the farmers, they're having trouble at one time storing it because it's getting mildew. It's just so wet. And now they've actually got dehydrators that they can put in bins to blow the air. So mankind, God's giving the wisdom to come up with some cures for these things that we brought on ourselves. And he'll change the land to powder, drought. And in verse 25, he'll cause you to be defeated for your enemies. You'll go out one way and flee seven ways. And then goes on, your carcass will fall. The birds of the air and the beasts of the earth no longer shall frighten them away. And it goes on, there'll be boils. He'll strike you with madness. You'll grope in noonday. We don't know what we're doing. Groping around, I mean, the leadership of this country is just like they're groping around, wondering, well, let's try this, let's try that. And anyway, that's enough of that. Strike you with madness, you shall grope. There was one I wanted to read, and I can't find it right now. Didn't write it down. But that's just the curses that God says will come on a disobedient nation. And we are seeing maybe just the beginning, but it is progressing. It seems much faster than we might have imagined. But a survivor holds on to the truth. Another point I want to make. A survivor holds on to the truth. And we need to ask, what am I pursuing? What am I really pursuing here? I'm not of the world, but I'm in the world. What am I pursuing? What is I'm really going after? What is our goal in life? What are we chasing? I've mentioned before, more than one former member has given me their booklets. They're through. I mean, this is going back years. They've had them for all these years. And, here's these booklets. You know, I don't use them anymore. I've had them here for 30 years in the house. And I'm not reading yet. And one of them that did this told me, and then he's got talking about, I still got those 45 records that I had when I was a teenager. And I mean, that's a treasure, these old 45 records that he bopped to or whatever back when he was a teenager. What is it? He out bopped a buzzard, the Oreo or, you know, Rockin' Robin. Well, hey, this is a treasure, these old 45 records. Oh, here's my correspondence course and all these booklets. You know, holding on to the truth. That's a survivor has to hold on to the truth. You don't turn it loose, do you? What's our goal in life? And, you know, I just know that someday people that's had this is going to wonder, hey, maybe I made a mistake. I don't know for sure about that, but I know that in Amos, what's it say in Amos chapter 8? Let's look at that. Amos chapter 8. I know you've read that. Let's see. Amos chapter 8, verse 12. And I'll start there in verse 11. Amos 8. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. You don't appreciate what you had? I'll send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread. There'll be that too, if you're paying attention where the world's going. Nor a thirst of water. But he's talking about another famine. But the famine of hearing the word of the Lord. Going to come a time when all at once, hey, where is that? Where's that in the Bible? What does it say? Something's happened here. I remember something. And it says, verse 12, they will wander from sea to sea. They shall wander and from north to east. And they shall run to and fro seeking the word of the eternal, but shall not find it. Oh, they're seeking the word of the eternal. That tells me that they know that there was a word of the eternal. And now they can't find it. What's happened to it? But shall not find it. Verse 13, that day the fair virgin and strong young men shall faint with thirst. Thirst from what? God's word, isn't it? I saw this old sci-fi movie many years ago. I think it's the Book of Eli. In the future, there's no books. And the Bible is gone. And this blind guy has the whole Bible in his head. And I guess people's realizing we need this. And the whole movie's getting this guy transported to the West Coast where he can talk to them and they'll record it again. Well, that's fiction. I'm not recommending that movie because I don't even remember enough about it. But the idea was the Word of God was gone. It was gone. And it says here, they'll wonder, where is the Word of God? And so what's it say there in Proverbs 23? Let's look at Proverbs 23, if you would. Okay, Proverbs 23 and verse 22. It says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and not despise your mother." So there it says, children, listen to your parents. If they've got God's word, listen to them, because it's sure going to come in handy if you'll listen. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. It says, buy the truth and do not sell it. No, you can sell it. You can sell the truth. And there are rewards. We talked about them. You can sell the truth. And you can sell it out and cash it in for whatever you can get now on this earth. You want to cash in your insurance policy? Well, here it is. Yeah, it says, buy the truth, but don't sell it. And it goes on and talks more about Jezebel, and which be a type of false religion, not to get involved in. That'd be in verse 27, but that's not my point here. So what is it saying? What Jesus say in Matthew 16? You got the truth, don't sell it. Look at Matthew chapter 16. If you would, please. Matthew 16, verse 25. Says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. His life, that's our life, our things that we would want, the way we would want to do it. I naturally wouldn't want to do it God's way. I mean, there's a lot simpler, easier ways to do it, isn't there? You know, I remember one person told me back in the day, as they say, when a younger man wore my clothes, that said, you know, I know God's way, but this is a lot easier. And it is, for a while. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Just like Jesus was willing to lose his life, but it was saved. In other words, hang on to the truth. Verse 26, for what profit is it if you gain the whole world? If you make the deal with the God of this world, Jesus could have gained the whole world. It was offered to him. What profit? If he gains the whole world and loses his own soul, for what will a man give in exchange for his life, for his soul? I mean, what is that worth? Is all the money in this earth worth taking the chance of selling out because, hey, you could have an advantage? Because it says in verse 27, for the Son of Man will come in glory of his Father with his angels. And we heard some about that this morning, and we'll hear more. And then he will reward each man according to his works. That is the reward we're looking for, isn't it? We don't want to be a part of this world, and we want to hold on to the truth. We hang on, sometimes we hang on to the wrong things. Hang on to old 45 RPM records. Is there even a record player to play them? I understand they are making them again. So, see, we can play those old 45s if we have them. So Christ is coming, and he's got something for those who hang on to the truth, doesn't he? A surviving Christian has the truth, and he hangs on to it, doesn't he? And let's look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Strengthening the soul of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. A surviving Christian is not offended. Well, they have hurt my feelings. I'm walking. A survivor, you're not a survivor once you do that. No, you continue in the faith. And in John 16:33, you say maybe this is like a promise, but John 16:33. In these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, but in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Didn't Jesus say that we're still in the world? He says we're going to have some tribulation because we're just an ambassador. We're a foreigner. We're a pilgrim here. As far as the world goes, we may not have the same rights as we would. You know, Jesus said, if the world hated me, it will hate you. And it says in Ecclesiastes 3:16, where there should be justice, there is wickedness. And we'll find that. Hey, we thought there was justice here. Maybe I better look at that. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 16. I'll read it for you. Moreover, I saw in the sun, in a place of judgment, wickedness was there. A place where they're supposed to be judging right. And I see bribery, undercover stuff going on. Here in a place of justice, in the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. Hey, right in the church, a place that's really, what did Jesus find? With the scribes and the Pharisees. Greed, injustice. My wife tells me the story when she was baptized. This is almost a young girl. She met the minister for baptism counseling at a restaurant while he was having a spaghetti dinner. She sat there and listened. He got his spaghetti dinner. The next day, he baptized her in a stock tank, I guess his stock tank. And then the day following that, he left the church, left the ministry. I mean, I think a person could get offended at that, could you? And then like a month later, you saw him on TV. He was on TV modeling men's underwear. So a place of righteousness, you can find unrighteousness. But she wasn't there because of this man. She was there because of the truth. And she was baptized because of the truth of God. That's why. Because we set our mind on any man, we're probably going to be disappointed. Yeah, the survivor keeps God's plan in his mind. We have a lot of booklets and literature and TV to help our mind stay on it. To remind us, we're not of this world. We're just not of it. The survivor recognizes the evil one. He's in camouflage. He's in camo in religion. He's camouflaged, and we need to recognize him. Jesus said, "My sheep will recognize my voice." Yeah. God's given us through his Spirit that we can recognize wrong. And God says to come out of Babylon religion. Still could be part of it. If we're hanging on any of this false religion, we got to get out of it because we need to live by the Word of God. We need to ask the question, what am I pursuing in life? What is the main focus here? Maybe we ought to ask our own question. You know, if you go in for a job interview, they might say, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you see yourself in 20 years? Well, where do you see yourself in 20 years, in 5 years? You know? What am I pursuing in life, really? Survivor holds on to the truth. So, brethren, I'm just asking you to be a surviving Christian. Be a survivor, not just surviving Christianity, but be a surviving Christian.